What kind of vehicles do Asari drive? Just a cars. Welcome to Weekly News Desk for the week of January 28th, 2017. I am Simon Atwell, and as always, I am joined by...
Andrew Duke.
Kind of screwed up saying Asari there.
Asari.
I don't know why, it kind of...
Asari. Are you Asari?
No, I'm not. Because that joke was even worse than the Justicars joke.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Be here all week. Alright, I don't think we have anything else. Do we have anything to talk about? Preamble? I don't think we have any preamble. Besides X-Wing is awesome.
X-Wing is awesome. X-Wing is life.
Yeah, no preamble. Let's just get right into Oscar talk. The Academy Awards.
Oscar the Grinch.
That's our movie's thing, is Oscar Says Hi. So, the on the 24th, I think, or 23rd maybe, the Academy Awards nominee list came out.
Woo, 89th. It should be almost, mentioned, almost 90, almost which is important. Almost 100.
Yeah, it's almost important. It's almost important.
Almost important. It's getting close to important.
And I bet I haven't seen any of these movies. So... Let's talk. Let's read the Best Picture nominees. We have Arrival, which I hear is great. Fences, never heard of it. Hacksaw Ridge, which I hear is quite good.
And I really want to see it.
Hell or High Water, never heard of it.
Me neither.
Hidden Figures.
Oh, wait, maybe I have heard of Hell or High Water.
Hidden Figures has Pharrell Williams on mentioned as a producer.
Yeah, Hell or High Water is the Jeff Bridges, where he's a cop man and he's hunting down the two. Bank robber nudes, one's a good guy.
Still haven't heard of it.
Looks good, I want to see it.
We have La La Land.
I also want to see it.
Which will probably win because, I mean, it's kind of Oscar bait a little bit. We have Lion.
But it's good Oscar bait.
Manchester by the Sea. Which I've seen a bunch of posters for, but I don't really know what it is. And we have Moonlight.
I don't know if I've heard of Moonlight.
I've heard the name, but I don't remember what it is. I don't know most of these. Because admittedly, movies aren't my thing so much as TV shows.
Something about African life.
Something about a frickin' life. God, get a frickin' life.
A frickin' life.
Oh, that's a great synopsis. I'm glad you looked it up.
No problem.
All right, let's move on.
It's a drama.
Best director is Denis Villeneuve. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. You try it.
Villeneuve.
Anyway, this is a guy who directed Arrival. We have Mel Gibson for directing Hacksaw Ridge. Damien Chazelle for La La Land. Kenneth Lonergan for Manchester by the Sea. And Barry Jenkins for Moonlight.
Barry Jenkins.
Best actor, we have Casey Affleck from Manchester by the Sea.
Any relation?
Yes, they're brothers. Did you not know that?
Nope.
They're well known to be brothers.
Is he in the movie with the planes and the boats in Japan?
The planes and the boats in Japan.
Pearl Harbor. Yeah. It's the name of the place, so I shouldn't... Cleared into that fast. Is he in that?
I don't know.
Is he involved in that? If only I had some way of looking this up.
It's World War II. How did you not snap right on that? That's like your era of history.
I don't know.
Jesus.
Man, I searched him and all I'm getting is stuff about Manchester sexual harassment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently some sexual harassment allegations.
Huh. Okay, so Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea, Andrew Garfield for Hacksaw Ridge, Ryan Gosling in La La Land, Viggo Mortensen for Captain Fantastic.
That one looks good.
I don't know what that one is either.
That's the one where he's got, like, his family in a bus, and he's got a big beard, and the one kid, like, wears a gas mask.
That, honestly, doesn't sound like only one Viggo Mortensen movie. The bus, I think, is new, but everything else sounds pretty familiar. And Denzel Washington for Fences. Best actress, we have Isabelle Huppert for Elle, Ruth Negga for Loving. Ruth Negga was great in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She was, what's her name? There, she worked for Skye's father in the first couple seasons, you know? Andrew doesn't know.
I don't know.
But she was great in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Natalie Portman for Jackie, where she played Jackie. Kennedy. Emma Stone for La La Land, and Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins.
I like Meryl Streep.
I hear Florence Foster Jenkins is good.
I don't know anything about it.
The weird drama-y type thing that it is.
but yeah.
Would do Best Supporting Actor and Actress. Best Supporting Actor is, oh boy, Mahershala Ali for Moonlight.
And the next is the winner, Jeff Bridges in Hell or High Water.
Not going to be the winner, to be honest. 100%
the winner. He is Jeff Bridges.
We got Lucas Hedges from Manchester by the Sea. Dev Patel, who's a pretty good bet, too, here for Lion. And Michael Shannon, who's not a terrible bet here either for Nocturnal Animals. I'm just saying, I don't think Jeff Bridges is the shoe-in you always think he is.
I don't know. He did good in that one trivia. He was the, what, the third,
third build actor for Iron Man.
Yeah. One. That was good. I was like, it's going to be Jeff Bridges, and it was. So
because you always bet on Jeff Bridges. You like
you should always
the Wesley Snipe, the Wesley Snipes of Jeff Bridges. So for Best Supporting Actress, we have Viola Davis in Fences. Naomi Harris for Moonlight, Nicole Kidman for Lion, Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, and Michelle Williams, Manchester by the Sea. Those are all good names.
I only know Kidman.
Really? You don't know Viola Davis for Octavia Spencer? Either?
Viola Davis sounds familiar. Yeah. It's a good thing I got IMDb
already open.
Still.
I don't think we need to screenplays.
Oh, yeah. I do know Viola Davis. Yeah,
I know you do. You probably also know Octavia Spencer.
Octavia
Spencer.
Spencer.
But I never know with you. You know weird things and don't know weird things.
It's true.
Best animated feature. This would be an interesting year, I think, for best animated feature.
Yeah, there's some good animated.
Kubo and the Two Strings.
So good.
Moana.
I hadn't seen it, but it looks so good.
My Life as a Zucchini, which I've never heard of.
That sounds great.
The Red Turtle.
Never heard of that.
Neither did I. And Zootopia.
Which was a surprisingly great
movie. Surprisingly great.
I wouldn't be surprised if Zootopia won.
Yeah, but with Kubo.
Kubo. But, man, they're both good. And Moana.
Moana.
That's what I said.
You said Moana.
Means it's family.
Moana. There's no H in Moana. There's an H in Moana.
Moana? Ohana.
It's that's Ohana.
Why. Ohana. Moana.
Moana.
Moana. Moana. My Life as a Zucchini. Let me just quickly bring this up and juggle.
Best costume design, original score. Best original song. Sound editing, sound mixing. Vis effects. Oh, Vis effects could be a really interesting year this year, too. Really? We have Deepwater Horizon for up for best Vis effects. That's the Mark Wahlberg on oil rig movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting. And Doctor Strange for best Vis effects, The Jungle Book for best Vis effects, Kubo for best Vis effects, and obviously Rogue One up for best Vis effects. That's it. Those are all good. I mean, I don't know about Deepwater Horizon, but I assume they had to do a lot of visual effects for, you know, fire and oil spewing. And
I'm just so tired of hearing about that movie.
What, Deepwater Horizon?
Yeah, like the trailer was out forever.
It was out forever and it was everywhere.
And it was in front of every
all over the internet, too.
And it was the same trailer.
Yeah.
I don't care if it was good. I don't want to watch it because of that. I'm so tired of it.
But still, even discounting that, when you have Doctor Strange, Jungle Book, Kubo, and Rogue One.
Yeah, it's tough.
Those four are, that's something for visual effects.
Rogue One, like, brought an actor back to life.
Or, yes, one.
Yeah.
The other person died afterwards.
Oh, no.
I was going to say O2. I was like, wait, no, they just made her younger. She was still alive for that one.
Yeah. But I think that's a pretty good feat.
That both of them were a little weird. I mean, it was as best. It wasn't bad, but both of the Tarkin and young Leia were weird on screen.
But in general, you can't beat the full power of ILM.
Yeah,
for visual effects.
It's true. Although Star Wars didn't win last year, but that's because Star Wars last year was kind of just more Star Wars. As pretty as it was just, you know, hey, Star Wars.
Where are we in best visual effects?
Oh, I skipped way down to the bottom because I skipped over sound mixing and sound editing and production design and the music and costume design and hairstyling.
Costume design has some good ones. Allied.
Never heard of it.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. The winner of this category, for sure. Florence Foster Jenkins, Jackie, and La La Land.
I like that Biz makeup and hairstyling only has, like, three.
A man called Ove? Ovi?
I don't know. Ovi? Who knows?
Star Trek Beyond, which had pretty good makeup.
Pretty excellent makeup, yeah.
I don't remember so much the hairstyling, but good makeup.
There was that one Asari-looking person who could open up her head, and that's where he hid the thing. She kind of reminded me of the Asari. I don't think that counts as hair, though.
And Suicide Squad.
Which, I guess, but I don't think so.
I'm surprised Suicide Squad wasn't in costume design.
Makes more sense than makeup and hairstyling. Killer Croc was half makeup.
Yeah.
That's true.
Joker makeup.
Yeah, but
Harley makeup.
Still not really amazing. They're just them.
Witch lady makeup.
That's true. She was pretty good too. I only watched that movie once, okay? And it's been a while.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to. I think we cover the important ones. If you ask me. Is there another?
Is there like a best score? There it is.
Yes, there's a best score down here.
Oh, they all suck.
Audition Can't Stop. Oh, that's original song. Original score, Jackie, La La Land, Lion, Moonlight, and Passengers, really. Is that even out yet? Is that out yet?
I think it is.
It must be. I never watched it.
I want to.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is out because I kept hearing people say, great first two thirds, and then something happens and it ruins the last third of the movie. That's what I saw from a lot of people.
I just hadn't heard anything about it, which doesn't always.
And I also remember seeing Chris Pratt do a bunch of stuff around the world for their different premieres and stuff.
It should be noted that Assassin's Creed is nowhere to be found.
No, that's true. But also, who's gonna? In what world is that? I mean, I suppose in the world of Fury, what road? Did two years ago. Got nominated.
2 years ago, yeah.
I was going to say, in what world does any Assassin's Creed movie, whether good or bad, get nominated for an Oscar? But I guess in a world where a Mad Max movie can.
Yeah. Which was so good. Also, should be noted, Suicide Squad is like the 50-somethingth movie to be both nominated for a Razzie and an Oscar.
I mean, actors and people have won Oscars and Razzies in the same year, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes for the same movie. Yeah, well. Razzies are Razzies.
Razzies are Razzies are Razzies.
So the Academy Awards will take place on February 26th. That's like a month away. It's a Sunday. Starting at 5:30 p.m. I don't actually know. They don't say a time zone there. So usually when they don't say a time zone, it's Eastern, to be honest. But I think, actually, I don't know, but it'll happen probably on the West Coast, so it'll probably be 5:30 West Coast. Right? Right. That's what I think. Apparently, yeah, sure. Apparently Jimmy Kimmel's going to host.
Hey, he's good.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a fine happening.
Much to do.
Much ado.
Much ado. Much to do.
Much to do about nothing.
Much to do.
So, let's go into TV. A couple quick things here. So, we talked about this way back when it was just sort of a rumor, but it is now officially they're starting a Fox has ordered a pilot for an X-Men show besides Legion from Bryan Singer, and it is going to focus on the family of a mutant who, well, they find out he's a mutant, and then they have to run, they have to hide, and they get in with this underground movement, is all the synopsis we have at this point. But it is just at this point, they're just ordering a pilot, so we'll see what happens with it. You know, after that, we might get two X-Men TV series.
Ooh. X-Men. And
hopefully Legion's good. I haven't checked it out. I don't think it premieres in a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah, it's not yet. Soon,
but, though. Hopefully that's good. Legion is good, but also difficult.
Mm. It says that they will tighten it in with the X-Men movies. Somehow. I don't know if it's off the bat or going to be along the line, but they've confirmed that much.
Or at least it's a shared universe, yeah.
Yeah. Comic books, man.
Unlike the CW universe.
Which is its own
and the deal. DC movie universe. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew, I'm going to let you get this second point here in TV, because it's all about, you're all about it.
I'm all about this. I'm all about this point. Samurai Jack finally has a release date for the newest season, which is, I believe, 5. Yes, 5. I have counted the number of DVDs volumes I own, and I own 4, because there's 4 seasons. And
this is fact. I can confirm that you own 4.
Yes. It is going to air March 11th at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
And where's it going to air?
Hmm.
How do you not know that?
I wasn't prepared for this question.
You should have been. And how do you just not know? I'm surprised you just don't know that offhand. Like, you don't, you're just, like, waiting for it.
Yeah, but I don't have TV, so...
So?
I have to consume my media digitally. Through whatever channel. iTunes, Netflix, or otherwise.
I was going to Amazon Prime now.
Oh, yeah, Amazon Prime now.
Crackle, I guess.
Mm.
If you really wanted to.
I guess. Where does Adult Swim stuff go?
Oh,
is it
God,
its own channel?
I don't even know anymore. It's Adult Swim?
Yeah.
That's probably good enough. It's going to be.
I knew it was Adult Swim, but I wasn't sure if that was the channel.
I don't know anymore.
How does TV work, guys?
Good question.
Just Google, is Adult Swim a channel?
Is Adult Swim a channel?
How do Adult Swim...
How do... We know so much about TV.
I guess it's just programming block on Cartoon Network still.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So it's on Cartoon Network. Is Cartoon Network a channel still?
Yeah, probably. Alright, so you can look forward to seeing more of our favorite samurai who picked up a name because some guy liked calling people Jack in the future.
Jack, 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 what up, Jack?
Yeah. On March 11th.
They call me Jack.
More Film Noir, just what we all need in our lives.
And every week, up until it airs, they are releasing an episode, so they will complete the series. This has probably already started, but hop on it still.
Hop on it.
Hop on it.
Alright, if we move on to games.
Major games.
So, Andrew, we discussed this earlier.
We did, briefly.
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 This weekend from the 26th to the 29th. is the closed beta for For Honor.
For Honor.
Yeah. The game from Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
Coming on consoles and PC.
Yes.
Where you get to play a samurai of a sort, or a viking of a sort, or a knight of a sort, and fight other vikings, knights, and samurai.
Yes. And it is rad. It is way better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, better than expected for sure.
And it has, like, a premise that in the universe ties everything together.
Mm. It's not just they threw a samurai knight and Vikings together because fuck it, why not?
Yeah, it's not just Deadliest Warrior.
Yeah, it's not just Shiv Deadliest Warrior mode.
Yeah. It should also be noted that there will be a single player campaign, full story.
Campaign. Yeah, this beta is only all the multiplayer stuff.
Right, as they usually are.
Yep.
And the multiplayer stuff is pretty neat. It harkens back to an age where there was Chrome Hounds. Where you've got the map control for different factions, and you're fighting for territory by playing multiplayer things. So
yeah, between each match, you get units that you can put on the map to shore up your defenses or attack somebody else's.
Yeah, and you can at the start you pick which faction you're representing, the knight, samurai, or Viking, and you're not restricted to playing that class, but the things you do will be contributed toward that faction, and it's really cool. And unlike Chivalry, this is a lot tighter gameplay.
Yep.
But that is fairly basic at its core, so it's like easy to, I don't say easy to learn, kind of is easy to learn. These are Shiv.
Probably.
But very difficult to master.
Yep, there's a lot of tricks you can do.
Yeah, a lot of tricks. Like, the one I'm stuck on right now is the trick of breaking someone's guard and then picking them up on my shoulder and hurling them off a ledge.
Off a cliff.
Because when you're the Viking, you break the thing, and then there's a grab.
Specifically kind of the thing. Specifically the Raider.
Yeah, Viking. Specifically the Raider Viking. You grab them, and then you just rush them, off the edge. And it's so...
It is, great. I think, out of the ones I've experienced, I think it does push them back the most, the farthest distance.
Yeah.
The other ones don't push them back quite as far. No. But other people do things faster.
Much faster.
Or have longer range.
The Viking seems to be just the all-round, or not the Viking, the Viking Raider.
The Raider.
Is the most all-round good.
The first three for each one are fairly similar.
Yeah, but from what I found, the Viking is just so good. I mean, the Raider.
I'm enjoying the Berserker, personally. I do. And the Spear-Toning Samurai.
Also good. Each faction has three...
Classes. I would call them.
Yeah. I don't remember their names exactly.
I know the Vikings' names, and I know one of the Knights' names. And I don't know any of the Samurai's names.
I only know the Raider. I started with the Knights, but I didn't pay attention to the name.
The fast knight, the third one over, the third one to the right, is Lawbringer. Not much I remember because it was a good name. The Vikings are Raider, Warlord, and Berserker. And then there's three samurai. One has a sword, one has a spear, and the other one probably also has a sword. I don't know. I didn't get that far.
Yeah, I've been trying.
Kind of got stuck on the spear.
I've just been trying to master this Raider because he's so great. each class is fairly unique in some of the things that they do, and then inside each class there are loadouts and different abilities you can acquire and swap around, which is pretty rad.
Yeah, like that one berserker that was AI controlled that I couldn't kill had the best retreat. Like, when she had to retreat, it must have been an activated ability because it would like swing her axes around in a circle as she stepped back four steps. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's an activated ability. Like,
I can't get near her without getting hit with her axe, and I can't finish her off because every time we get close, nope, I'm back here now.
Yeah, the activated abilities have generally a fairly long cooldown. And the gameplay is very fun. It's not just duels, it's like 1v1, there's 2v2s, and 4v4s.
4v4 domination.
Yeah, which also has a little AI...
Soldier.
Soldiery dudes running around.
That's generally point B. So generally, domination, I think, is 3 points.
You pick on a guy.
A is near one spawn point, C is near another spawn point, B is roughly in the middle, generally. Yeah, A and C you will take just by standing on it, and your enemies will take just by standing on it.
But B, you have to get your soldiers on.
Soldiers get past A line to take it. And so you go and help your soldiers modify the other soldiers.
Yeah.
Because they're one-hit kills. Every time you hit a soldier, it dies.
You can't lock onto them.
No. Or block them effectively.
You can block them. It's just not...
Not effectively.
Yeah, not effectively. It's difficult. I haven't quite figured out
which is why
it works entirely.
You really don't want to fight an enemy surround inside his soldiers.
Yeah. Don't wade through his soldiers.
It's not a great time.
There's an enemy nearby. Because they just keep knocking around, drop your guard, and then the enemy just poke, poke, poke.
Yeah, not a good time. But very fun. It's a very fun game. I'm enjoying it.
It's incredible.
I think it's worth it so far, unless they somehow break it from beta to launch.
Which I doubt. They've been working on this for a long time. Because it got pushed back already. I think it was supposed to come out last year.
I don't remember. I remember hearing about it a while ago, though. So probably.
Yeah, it's been in development forever. But yeah, at its core, you just got 3 points to block high, top, left, right, and...
It's the same place as you attack, top, left, right, heavy attack, light attack.
Heavy attack, light attack.
Guard break.
Guard break. Guard push. And then there's some combos attached to each class.
Yep.
There's the dodges and directions, and there you go. You just put all that together, and it's good times.
Good times. Worth it.
It is very worth it, which is unfortunate because I wasn't expecting to be buying it, but I think I might.
All right, let's move on to a quicker thing for Avengers Project.
Infinity War?
What?
It's called Infinity War, isn't it?
I don't know, is it?
That's I believe the movie. So. Or it's tied into Infinity War?
It might be. I just seen it as called The Avengers Project.
Yeah, I watched the, it's got a little trailer attached to it.
Yeah.
So what it is...
Little trailer.
Square Enix. And... Something.
And something?
Something.
I don't remember another game company.
I don't think there's a game company. It was Square Enix, and I guess Disney.
Marvel. Square Enix and Marvel is the only names I've seen assigned with it.
Yeah, the little teaser trailer doesn't...
Oh, right, Eidos Montreal was the other name, if that's what you're talking about.
That's it, thank you. Which is a sub-company to Square Enix, basically.
It is, but they make great games.
They do, they make
specifically games. Specifically, the ones that come out of Eidos Montreal are great. And Crystal Dynamics. Are the development teams.
So that's what I was looking for, thank you.
I'm reading this article and they're like, those names are enough to turn it to turn the excitement of Wait and See to holy shit, this could be great.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. Those Crystal Dynamics and Eidos Montreal do good stuff.
And it's all Marvel-y stuff. And I mean, up until now, what game, it's all kind of the same, either fighter or third person beat 'em up.
Yeah, it's either the Marvel vs. Capcom or Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah.
Basically, is what you're
getting. That's the two formats.
Yeah.
You get different characters from different companies and various things like that. But this one could be different. Who knows? Because these guys, like...
Neither of these companies usually do that.
Yeah.
It's not their genre.
So it might be a nice new take, considering those other games are kind of beaten to death. Kind of a little dated.
I could take another Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah.
I like Ultimate Alliance, though, specifically. So as far as I have seen, it's going to be an original story, but it is in the MCU, I think. But it's an original story within it, I believe.
Yeah.
We don't know a ton about it, but it's happening, and it's from those people. Help, it's happening.
Either way, get hype.
Get hype. And it's slated for May 4th, 2018.
Uh-huh.
But it will likely be pushed back, because let's be honest. It will very likely be pushed back.
Modern video games.
Yeah. Which I'm really fine with.
Yeah.
If you have to push it back to make it better, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
As long as you don't abuse that trust.
But the little teaser trailer is not much. It's just scenes of things scattered around, like Thor Hammer and...
Cap shield, Iron Glove.
Broken glasses.
Yeah.
Broken door.
Broken container door, yeah.
Yeah.
And a whole kill. It sounds like a whole kill.
Yeah.
Some say the Age of Heroes is over. So. We'll definitely be talking about that more when we get more news. Andrew, Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
I haven't watched either of these.
Okay, Mass Effect has a new cinematic trailer, which kind of puts some more context into what this game is going to be that's coming out, like, next month. And, you know, like, just bad guy. He's a bad alien guy, and who knows what his motive is right now, but I'm assuming we're stepping on his turf and he don't like it. Which is a fair motivation.
Plausible.
And, yeah, it's still the whole 600 years from the events of Mass Effect 1. Nope, 2. Mass Effect 2/3.
What's the difference?
Hmm?
What's the difference? Like, a year?
Yeah.
I guess from Mass Effect 1. No, 2.
That doesn't even
matter. It's 601 years from Mass Effect 1.
Yes. Okay, 600-ish years from Mass Effect 1, give or take, whatever. And there's some good one-liners in the thing. Like he's like, I don't need an army, I have a Krogan.
Yeah,
that's a good line.
It's true.
And it looks cool. I like that they're showing story and all the aliens and. A bunch of new alien races are in the story, both friendly and not so friendly. And the characters and neat. And then the next trailer is a little Meet the Crew video.
Some of the crew. The important crew.
Yeah, like the just the human crew, really.
It's racist.
It is a little racist, considering there are other crew members, I'm assuming, that you take with you. Because they're all over the cinematic video, like the Asari and the Krogan and whatever. But this is the humans. It shows you Papa Ryder, which isn't his actual name. I just didn't write down his real name. But he is the Ryder father, who was one of the first people through the mass relay back in the day, and I guess did all that. One of the mass relays. I don't know if it was the first one, but one of them. It wasn't specific enough to say anything past, like, the name of this planet expedition, and I'm not that big of a Mass Effect nerd. But he's played by Clancy Brown, which is cool.
It's awesome.
And then there's Sarah and Scott Ryder, which are your player characters.
Yep, the twins.
Yeah, and you...
I just realized something. Keep going.
You pick one, you pick the other.
Yeah, instead of having it be Shepard, who is both male and female, depending on who you are and what you chose to play.
You pick
two characters.
The two characters, and the other one will persist as a character in the other one's story.
Much easier for their lore.
Yeah. And there is Liam... I'm assuming he's got a full name, but...
You didn't write it down.
I didn't.
A terrible person.
I was listening to the narrator, but I think that they had it in the top left corner, the full name. But he's like a tech responder guy who's optimistic and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
He's got dreads. Cool guy. And then Lieutenant Cora Harper is the one narrating this video. And she seems cool.
Seems like a lieutenant.
Yeah. Also, I should mention that Papa Ryder is an N7 rank, which is cool.
I would like to mention that I was watching Star Wars Rebels today, and Inside Man, when they go back to Lothal.
Oh, Clancy Brown. Clancy Brown,
voices
right?
Ryder. Like, his character's name is Ryder.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I was like, wait, I gotta make sure that it's true. He's Ryder Asadi in Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
And now he is whatever Ryder in Mass Effect. It's funny to me.
That is funny. We call him Ryder.
Ryder.
And then there's also, they say, the AI companion, which is just the computer. It's not like an embodied AI.
Yet.
And its name is Sam, which stands for Simulated Adaptive Matrix, and I guess was built by Papa Rider in some form.
It's weird.
And it connects through neuroimplants to each of the team members and helps you out, whatever.
Weird.
Yeah, it's weird that it highlighted that.
A little bit.
But, whatever. Looks cool.
I'll bet that. I'll get this game, obviously.
I'm getting this game. Especially after seeing the cinematic trailer. They hit the hype button, which is what I needed, because they didn't give us anything forever.
That's a fact.
And then the game's almost upon us, and then they're like, okay.
I told you.
Here's what it is.
I called it, didn't I? Or was that something else? I know I called something.
You did call this.
No way. We're going to see the trailer about this many weeks.
I didn't doubt you, but...
it was a pretty easy call.
I still didn't like it.
Safe call.
Safe call is they will show a trailer before they release it.
Hey, but yeah. So, move on to Pokemon.
Pokemon Duel is out.
It's another mobile app.
Yes, and it is on the phones, and guess what? My phone can run it, so I can have my Pokemon fix. Well, Go is unavailable to me.
Yeah, I hear it's not that great. I've not heard great things about
Pokemon
it.
Duel?
Yeah.
It's fine. It's kind of interesting. Nice little pick up and play. It has some issues, like the tutorial is the longest tutorial I've ever experienced in a game. And you can't, like get out of the app and continue from where you left off. It just picks up from the beginning again.
That sounds terrible.
So it took me, all week. I tried, four times this week to just get through it. Eventually I got, halfway through it. I'm like, okay, I gotta do something else again. I'm just going to skip it, and I'll figure it out later. So it's kind of like, I guess, Chinese checkers-ish, if I had to attribute it to some kind of...
Not in style of play, but you move pieces around. It's a board.
Yeah.
You move Pokemon pieces, sort of.
Yeah, like if Chinese checkers was on a different board, and each of the things had different stats, and a spinning wheel... when they attack.
So, nothing like Chinese checkers, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you move your Pokemon around the board, and they fight.
Yeah.
Depending on the way you move them.
And then you get into a combat, and you, spin this virtual wheel, which you can upgrade and add more...
better attacks.
Yeah, you can have better attacks and increase the width of the pie piece for certain moves. And it's all about, positioning... your Pokemon and the strengths and weaknesses.
So, Pokemon, kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. If you're like me and don't have Pokemon Go or are burnt out on Pokemon Go and wanted more Pokemon, check it out.
I really don't see how you can be burnt out on Pokemon Go and not be burnt out on Pokemon. Since that's the most casual Pokemon, really.
Yeah. But maybe that's why. Too casual.
Speaking of casual...
Yeah, if you are also want more Pokemon in your life, Pokemon cards are back in a big way. Not just in our group, thanks to this new XY Evolution set.
I was going to somehow make a joke about how much the percentage was Kaylin.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is great. The whole XY and the return of cards from my youth into standard play, which is neat. And how many of us in this group have Pokemon cards? In December.
I think it's four.
Me.
Caitlin.
Rachel. Ryan.
I didn't count Rachel.
And
I somehow got Ryan and not Rachel. John.
John.
John was my fourth. That's five.
That's five.
Because I somehow counted Ryan and now Rachel, which is... But Pokemon, that's how...
Well, Ryan went hard into it. I think Rachel's only got a deck, and Ryan's yeah, Pokemon.
Exactly. You, Ryan and John are it's Pokemon, they're into it.
But they reported sales for December, and they are up 733.7% compared to last year.
Now, is that seven repeated?
We'll say yes. And it is pretty cool. The we were at Toronto, and we were at Toronto.
We were at Toronto. That's a terrible sentence.
We were in Toronto.
Yep, that's accurate.
We were in Toronto at 401 Games,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, what I was going for. And there was a pre-release for the Sun and Moon set, and there was it was a huge event. Took up the whole upstairs, and
which is a sizable, pretty sizable upstairs.
Yeah, lots of X-Wing tournaments, and big tournaments, and big. Magic tournaments take place there. And it was packed. It was cool. It's Pokemon. Can't keep a good Pokemon down. Sun and Moon.
Everybody's got to revive.
Sun and Moon had good sales, really good sales, and it was a fantastic game. Pokemon cards even doing good.
That creepy possessed Pokedex.
Yeah. It wasn't so creepy.
It's creepy.
But that creepy Pikachu thing is absolutely terrifying. Not like a little terrifying in the game, a lot terrifying in the show.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'll show you after the show. But it's basically like a ghost Pokemon thing that has no descript features or shape. It's just if you see what it looks like for real, you die. And it's pretending to be like Pikachu. So it's got like a yellow thing and like eyes cut out and like a creepy mouth and like a stick for the tail, and it just wants to be loved like Pikachu. And it's a terrifying thing.
But in the game, you can be carried in Machamp's arms, and yes, that's what's most important.
It's a beautiful scene, being carried in Machamp's arms while his other arms still push boulders. Good old Machamp.
Alright, so Pokemon, it's a thing again. They're on the upswing for now. Alright,
again. Days of War.
I don't even know what this is.
Days of War was a Kickstarter first person shooter set in World War II. And it was kind of like, you know, the big AAA companies aren't doing this, so There's a hole. Let's try and fill this, was the pitch for it. And it's a big 32 player games.
That's pretty big.
With 100 player game special events.
That's very big.
Like D-Day and such, which is a pretty cool concept. The gameplay and all that looks really good, and there's a lot of care going into the sound design, the animation, the styles. And it's kind of like what you would expect from a AAA game. And it's like $23.99 on Steam Early Access right now. And just launched.
It's a good price.
It is a good price. It looks pretty good, though. I'm going to probably pick it up and then try it.
I'm probably not going to.
I like the World War II shooters.
Yeah, I don't play a lot of shooters. I'd pick it up, maybe. Maybe if it's really good, you guys twist my rubber arm to pick up another video game.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's jump into comics/books, which I missed one of my links for, like some sort of noob.
I would like to just start the comics and books out with Six Gun Gorilla. I was doing my Amazon shopping, and they suggested that I buy it. And I was like, oh yeah, I completely forgot I was going to do that. And I bought it. And I started reading. I'm about halfway through the full trade. And it is one of the best comics I've read, man. It's hitting all the right notes. It's like sci-fi Civil War mixed with Hunger Games mixed with this giant gorilla. It's like cyber super soldier gorilla using badass pistols and a sweet poncho, and it's just, he's so cool, and I recommend this book highly. The art style is pretty cool, the characters are sweet and all very stereotypical for the time. Like there's one British character and he's like, I gov and stuff, and I was going, so tip of the day.
He sounds like Tracer.
Yeah. Sounds like Tracer. And then all the American people are like, you know, rootin' tootin' and stuff. And it's all Civil War. It's neat.
Oh, there you go, everybody. Pick up some Six Gun Gorilla today. All right, now into the news. First up, we're going to start with Sovereigns from Dynamite Entertainment. So, Dynamite, Andrew, you may know, or may, or more likely, you do not know.
They or have, may know.
Published a lot of Turok comics, Solar Magnus, and Dr. Spectre.
You say Turok?
Yeah, Turok.
Comics?
Yeah.
Turok is, still exists in some...
Turok still exists in a couple of different things. So now... They are going to do a introduce a new era for these long-running comic book staples with the Sovereigns. Zero is an oversized 48-page launch issue priced at $1 retail.
What does oversized mean? Like, just it's thicker?
48 pages, yeah. Oversized just is a bigger comic.
Now, is it still
it's,
like...
It's what they do for... No, it's still comic book height, length, width.
Yeah.
Yes, it's just...
It's just thicker?
It's just more pages.
But it's the same, like, comic book build?
Usually. Because they do... the big publishers usually oversized annuals. And they're just... It's because they're bigger. More pages. Bigger.
Gotcha.
Usually. Priced at $1 retail. $1.
I learned a thing. Buy that for $1. 48 pages... For $1?
Yeah, because it's number zero, so it is, it's one of those things. It's was like we talked about before. I think they were somebody was giving away a number zero for free, so that people would then be interested in. No, it was actually Vampirella. We were talking about Vampirella. I don't know if it was free or it was really cheap.
It was really cheap. They it was were like giving, 99 cents.
They were giving the zero issue, selling the zero issue for cheap, so that people could. Then get interested in the actual series, which obviously...
And find out if she's an actual vampire.
People will obviously pay full price for. So, the debut issue brings together some of the most talented team, some of the best writers that I know that work for Dynamite. Ray Fox, who did Wolverines and Robin, Son of Batman. Aubrey Sitterson, who did Street Fighter X and G.I. Joe. Chuck Wendig.
Who's the only list, the only author in this list I recognize.
Yeah, because he did Star Wars.
Yeah. Aftermath.
Mm-hmm. And also Hyperion, which is not a Star Wars thing, despite the fact that it could be. And Kyle Higgins, who works on Power Rangers.
Go, go, Power Rangers!
So, basically, in Sovereigns, some of the people I've mentioned above, and probably some more, form a team that's protected the world in the past, present, and future. Now they'll be reunited one last time to face a threat that will forever change their legacy and bring them face to face with their final destiny. So it's like a team up of awesome Dynamite characters that Dynamite has the rights, comic rights to. Blah 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 blah.
What? Like Turok.
Like Turok and Doc Spectre.
Huh.
Yep. This is all a bunch of writers saying they're excited for it, blah, blah, blah. There's a couple of different covers, but I believe they're all done by Steven Segovia, who did Titans.
They're good-looking covers.
Yeah.
I'm still just flabbergasted that Turok's a thing.
Yeah, they do have more people, but I can't read their names very well. There's more people than the three I mentioned, but the three I mentioned are kind of probably the biggest names.
Yeah, they're all written in, like, handwriting.
Yeah, they're written in handwriting. Impossible to see.
Solar.
Yeah, Solar. I see that one. Because it's...
It's all big.
Yeah, it's all bold. Anyway, so this is slated for release in April. So, you know, you got a spare dollar around April, you should go check out your local CBS. Your LCBS.
FLCBS? Friendly.
Friendly local comic book store, yeah. You know, if it's friendly.
If it's friendly. If it's not friendly.
It may not be.
I don't know.
Then it's just LCBS.
Yeah. You may need to get a new CBS.
Yeah, you may have to drop the L too. At least you get the FCBS.
Yeah.
Because that's more important than
the FCBS is more important than the LCBS.
Generally. Unless you live somewhere in like the Midwestern United States and, you know, there's no such thing as an LCBS because you have to drive to a city to find one.
Then there's a Prime CBS.
All right. Let's move on to Pellucidar, I think is how you pronounce that.
Pellucidar.
So, it is based on Edgar Rice Burroughs' fictional realm of this same name. So they're doing more Pellucidar comics this summer because they're on. It's on special license from Edgar Rice Burroughs, Inc. Pellucidar is, I don't know if you heard about it before, but it's basically there's a world at Earth's core, like a sort of a micro world at the core of the Earth that this is all set around.
Is that a world that we have journeyed to?
I don't remember. I do not know.
The land time forgot.
Yeah, the old new American, I've never heard of American Mythology Productions, but that's the company that this is supposed to come out under. So yeah. Mike Wolfer is going to write them. I've never heard of him before.
There's dinosaurs in it.
Yep. It's dangerous, you know. Saber-toothed tigers. Nobody has any real clothes.
TLTTF.
Yeah, it's going to be, so they were first be introduced to Pellucidar in the pages of TLTTF, the next TLTTF miniseries, Terror from the Earth's Core. TLTTF is The Land That Time Forgot, which Andrew said earlier. Is Terror from Earth's Core, a special crossover event that pits the two legendary worlds head-to-head in one incredible science fiction action adventure. So, you know, it's cool. It's mostly cool, and I mostly put it up here because it's an Edgar Rice Burroughs thing. It was based, I suppose, on the Edgar Rice Burroughs thing. And I like Edgar Rice Burroughs. It's cool stuff. It's cool news. It's cool beans.
Cool beans.
I didn't see a date for that one, besides 2017. Now this is super cool. This next one, Image Comic, has announced that writers Greg Rucka and Leandro Fernandez are teaming up for an all-new series called The Old Guard. So basically, the synopsis is, trapped in an immortality without explanation, the Old Guard follows Andromache of Scythia, Andy, and her comrades as they ply their trade for those who can find and afford their services. Set in the 21st century, where immortality is a hard secret to keep, this action-packed new series explores what happens when you live just long enough to learn that there are many fates worse than death.
I might be all about this.
Sounds super cool.
Yeah, I might be all about this for sure.
People, like, Scythia is super ancient. Somebody's been alive since then. And basically been a mercenary for ever.
Yeah.
It's super cool. Plus the art in the couple of preview images here. It's some good looking art.
Yeah, it is looking good. I want to see more. I want to know more.
So, The Old Guard number one is slated to arrive on February 22nd of this very year.
I'm so in.
From Image. Yeah, Image does good shit, man.
I'm going to put this on the wish list.
Oh, God, no, no, stop it. I forgot my third link was, or my fourth link was Bleeding Cool.
Oh.
And these stupid autoplay fucking videos.
Yep.
Star Wars. Our last thing on the docket is Star Wars.
I love Star Wars.
So we've got...
Give me Mr. Wurz.
Three new young adult novels to take the more into Rogue One stuff.
Like Baze and Chirrut?
Baze and Chirrut, yep. Chirrut. Star Wars Guardians of the Whills.
Whills.
Also by Greg Rucka, guy who's writing The Old Guard, by the way.
Oh, that's cool.
He just talked about him. So basically, Guardians of the Whills will show what life was like on Jedha for Chirrut and Baze, protecting the Kyra Temple when the Empire first showed up. And it also shows Saw Gerrera showing up to help them try and fight the Empire.
And they kind of like join forces.
And then basically they think, man, this guy's fucking crazy.
As I think everybody else does. The rebels and everyone.
Everyone, because Saw Gerrera is fucking crazy.
Oh, God.
And then we have Rebel Rising by Beth Revis.
Rebel Rising.
A novel that will focus on Jyn Erso's time with Saw Gerrera.
Well, that's cool. And finding out that he's crazy.
Finding out that he's crazy. Although she didn't seem to care that he's crazy so much. She was upset that he made her leave. Yeah. Or left her, whichever.
He had good reason.
But still, you know, more sort of more Jyn backstory between the five-year-old that we see in the beginning of the Rogue One movie and, you know, the Rogue One movie. And I believe those are both coming out on May 2nd? Yes, May 2nd is what it says at the top. And there's no other dates, so both of those.
All these are must-read for people who like to explore and expand the canon. Because these all add new tidbits that you previously are unknown.
Be little bits and everything, yeah.
Like in one of these other books, you learn who the Wappity Wappity Wappity
Traitor
T-R-8-R, who is not his
no, his operating name. Number his operating number is FN2199.
Yeah. And close to Finn's.
Of
FN2187.
Is it? I don't know, I clicked the link, but Wikipedia is being very slow.
I think it's 2187.
FN2187, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Served alongside his brother at arms, FN2187.
Star Wars nerd and brain.
FN2199 has a nickname of Nines, apparently.
Yeah. And 99, which was the one that died?
What do you mean? Oh, that in the beginning of the movie? I don't have any idea.
It was his buddy, it was another FN. That one I don't remember.
No.
And I think that was also covered in the same book where you learn who...
I'm sure it was.
...Nines is.
That would make the most sense.
Yeah.
That would be the most sensible place to cover it.
So if you want, if you're interested in that, you know, that little stuff, even if they're not written so well, they're at least passable and interested.
Yeah.
They're young adult.
They'll be fine.
Honestly, the young adult stuff I found has been better written than the adult ones. I mean, like, Star Wars is Star Wars, so it's the writing level is generally...
Yeah, it's not... I mean, as much as we all love Star Wars here, let's not pretend that it's, you know, high art.
Yeah, it's not high
art. In writing.
These are not literary classics.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's room for it. We just need someone to make it.
And last but not least here, they're republishing a junior novelization of Rogue One on March 28th, written or novelized by Matt Forbeck.
And there already is a full novelization.
Yep. This one is the most just sort of for your younger ones.
Yeah, this one is an actual divergence between the two.
Yep.
You should definitely go with the adult one rather than the kiddie one.
That's a fact. And they're all available for pre-order right now. Thanks for telling me.
Go now.
Go right now.
Go right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
What are you doing?
Now.
Are you doing it now?
Now. All right.
I'm watching. I can hear you typing. You're not doing it.
Do it now. Anyway, so that is what we have for... Are you doing it right now? Because why did you just open Amazon?
Because I'm looking at doing it right now.
So that is all we have for this week. We have Twitter. You can find us there. I am at Dud75, D-U-D-75.
I'm at D-U-P-3.
And you can find the show at Geekly News, G-W-E-E-K-L-Y-N-E-W-S. Our website is geeklynews.com. You can find our show notes there with links to the two Mass Effect videos, for sure, in this week's show notes. Is that the only videos you have? Yeah, just links to Mass Effect this week, but any links you had previously in our previous show notes. You can find a couple of write-ups that Andrew's written. You can leave messages in the bottom of each post if that's how you want to get in contact with us. Or if you want to get in contact with us through email, our email is feedback@greeklynews.com. We, you know, we'll respond, and unless you tell us otherwise, probably read it in the show and respond there as well. There's our Facebook, facebook.com/greeklynews. And we have a Discord server, which has a widget on the website, and pinned Facebook post and a pinned tweet with the links. We'd love for you to come join it. Come type and talk and play games. It's great stuff. And you can certainly find us on iTunes, where we would truly love a rating and review.
Yes, please.
Please, please.
Please.
All right. Well, thank you for putting up with us once again. Like I said, that's all we have. I guess hear from us next week.
Bye.